Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about how to get over your fear of creating videos, because both Tony and I sincerely believe that video is the future. I think it's the best medium right now to grow your audience.
I agree. And I think the interesting thing about video is there's so many different ways that you can use video. It used to be that there was really only one way. You made a YouTube video, you embedded it on your website. That was pretty much it, you know, 15 years ago. And now there's so many different options. And I feel like if you're not making video, I don't want to say that you're not going to be successful, but I will say that like making video is infinitely easier path to success than some of the other ways that we talk about.
I mean, I don't want to use the word easy, but it's the most effective, I should say.
I would say easy as far as like competition, like the slog, like making video is not easy, but having video versus content, video is going to be easier to get that traction.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is we just gave a workshop yesterday and there was one lady who was in the chat saying, oh, I don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
And we kind of reframed it during that workshop where, you know, a lot of people don't want to be on camera, which actually reduces the competition if you were to decide to do it yourself.
Yes. And it's interesting because I was thinking about her question this morning, which is actually what gave me the idea for this podcast, because I feel like she is not alone. She is in the majority. The majority of people are like, I don't want to do video, which I get. But then I think about Kevin in our class, who just recently launched his YouTube channel, The Grumpy Sysadmin. And I feel like, and this is not to pick on Kevin, because I think Kevin is doing an amazing job, but he is probably the typical I don't want to be on video personality, right?
Is he? What do you mean?
Because typically people who work in tech and
networks, come the stereotypes.
It's 100% a stereotype, but it's not like my 17-year-old who lives on TikTok who's like, I just don't want to be on video, you know, who like literally is making videos every single day in her bedroom, right? So you take someone like Kevin, who's talking about a topic that's not like super sexy, right? He's talking about network security and tech and, you know, how to...
That's sexy to me, Tony. Sorry.
Yes, I know. But I think when most people think of video, they think of people that are like, you know, look at my haul today. You know, it's that kind of, that's what people think. Or like, here I am at this restaurant in New York City. Or, you know, that's what people think of in video. And there's so much video out there that's truly just teaching you things that you need to know, like what Kevin's doing. And Kevin, to me, Kevin's personality is not like, if 10 years ago you told Kevin, hey, you're going to have a YouTube channel, he probably would have thought that's probably crazy. But he's a good example of someone who I would say is not a person who was like, I can't wait to make a YouTube channel, who has done it. And so I think like, what can we learn from people like Kevin, people who are out there creating content? Because the other question that we get asked all the time is, can I just do the AI type video where it's a faceless channel and AI is basically creating the content? And to that, I say, don't bother. You might have a different opinion, but I would say this is not what we're talking about today and definitely not something we recommend.
Man, I don't want to say don't bother because... There's some channels out there that I've looked that are faceless that are working. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's all this AI spam going on in YouTube land. And if you want to build a personal brand, your face should probably be in it.
Well, you gave the example yesterday about our friend Spencer Hawes.
Yes.
And I don't know his full story about the faceless channels. Maybe you can explain it a little bit better.
You know, Spencer, he always tries to experiment with stuff.
Yep.
And so what he did is he hired a team. A team is a strong term. He hired people to just run his faceless YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So he's not involved in it at all. And they use AI to generate the scripts and then they're massaged. And then, you know, they just overlay speech on top of, you know, B-roll and static images and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And you said when he started, it was doing well. And now it's sort of taken a
actually,
dive.
So he actually showed his entire view graph.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually watching a YouTube video that he put on with his face on it.
Yeah.
You know, he has one where he does this podcast where he just does a monthly recap. And he said it started out okay. You know, it got like 14,000 views in a month, which is pretty good for a new channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then like the last 3 weeks or so, it's been like in the gutter.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because, you know, Google's been doing a lot of updates in search land lately. Perhaps YouTube is doing something similar to just kind of filter out. I'm not saying that Spencer's videos are lower quality, but I think YouTube has to do something to fight this spam that's going on.
Yeah. So we're going to talk today about how to get over your fear of just making videos with your face in them to some extent. Now, I would say it doesn't need to be your face the whole time, but just, you know, creating that channel where, you know, you or your topic is definitely the brand. It's not just AI created content. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
So I am curious, since you just started your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Or you are starting it.
Yes, to much disastrous work last week.
And what's funny is when we first worked on our class, I don't know how many years ago, 3 years ago, four years ago. I don't know how long it's been now. You actually didn't want to do video, even though you've done so much video, right?
Yeah. So I think the biggest hurdle for females in video, and I do think this is very gender specific, is that you got to get ready, you got to get dressed, you got to do your hair, you got to do your makeup. I was talking about this with Andrea the other day. I was like, I'm not looking forward to this week. I've got to, like, you know, do multiple videos. And she's like,
you
got to
change out of your pajamas. You got to brush your hair.
And she's like, you look fine. You look fine. You don't have to do much. And I was like, you feel like you do. And I don't think there's any, the first thing I want to say is I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling like you need to do those things. Like, I know you roll out of bed, you're in your V-neck t-shirts that you wear every day. I get that. I think I want to just say, I think there is a different standard. I've accepted that that's how it is. And I think it's okay for especially females to feel like, hey, I want to put my best foot forward. I want to make sure I do my hair and makeup. I want to put on something nicer than I would like my gym clothes, unless you're making gym videos, right? And I think that is an okay, because so many people are like, just get on and film. It's okay to not feel comfortable getting on and filming, because if video is hard and you don't feel confident in how you look or how you're presenting yourself, then it's going to come across in your talking and your presentation in the video. So whatever it takes to make you feel confident in starting the video, do it. It's okay. It's okay if you want to go the extra mile, do those things. Don't feel like, oh, it's just, you know, I don't want to have to do all these things. It's okay to do that to feel confident.
I know for me, like, I need to remove all hurdles in order to just be consistent about video. And if I had to do my hair and worry about makeup and dressing up, that'd be like a pretty huge hurdle for me.
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge that for people. Because I feel like so many people are like, oh, just turn the camera on. And it's like, no, like, get confident with yourself. And
but there are women on YouTube. I guess I can't tell, but there are women on YouTube. I feel like they're not dressed up or made up at all. And they have really good channels, but perhaps they're really good at makeup and I can't tell.
I think they have a good layer, a foundation layer.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, be okay with saying like, hey, I want to take an extra 30 minutes. And, you know, and that's why I think we'll talk about this in a little bit, like the batch recording and things like that become so much more important if that is important to you and your channel. But I would say the first step in getting over your fear of creating video is to just, I think, I don't know how to say this in a nice way, but like, just remember, you're going to hate everything you make initially. Like, it will never be what you want it to be. And I think that was the thing, which is so weird, because I used to make video walls all the time. And then we started doing course videos. I felt like this extra pressure because it was weird because I made videos teaching people how to do all sorts of things, right? So DIY, cook. But when it came to like teaching people about business, all of a sudden I felt like this extreme pressure that it had to be perfect, where I was more than willing to go on a video in my pajamas when I was teaching people how to make cinnamon rolls. And so something shifted. It, you know, there's probably a lot of, like, we're not going to do a deep dive into my psyche today, but, you know, to me, I felt like it had to be perfect and polished in the course videos. And what I realized is, one, it's never going to be as perfect or as polished as you want it to be. And two, the more videos you make, the more you don't mind making videos, which I know is like the crazy cycle, right? Like once you start making videos, it gets easier to make videos, but it's like you got to start making videos to get to that point. But I will assure you that your first videos, you will hate. You will hate everything about them. You will hate the way you look. You will hate the way you talk. You will hate the amount of times you say or like or so. And you have to just get over that and realize that if you keep doing it, you'll be able to improve on those things as you go along.
I think of it like running. Whenever I have to get up and start running again, I hate the first run. It sucks. Mm-hmm. But then if I'm consistent about it, by a month, it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty much anything in life.
Yeah, basically. You know,
the first shot of tequila is tough, but when you're on shot number five, it's no. But I do think that people need to understand that not a single person that's ever made a video made their first video and was like, oh, this is amazing. You know, I'm so great on video. I love how I look. Nobody feels that way.
For me, the fear wasn't actually being on camera. The fear was actually the work that's involved. Did you have that also, or was it just mainly getting on camera?
Oh, I have all the fears. Everything. You should see my desk. You can't see my desk right now, but it is littered in video equipment because I had so many tech problems last week. Shocker.
Yeah. So for me, like I'd make a video and then I'd edit it and I'd be like, oh my God, I can't do this. This is 6 hours of my time, 4 to 6 hours, you know, for like a 10-minute video.
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to sustain this? No. And then there's the filming part where I'm just stumbling through it. And sometimes, like back before I had my system, mm-hmm. filming the video could take like an hour for a 10-minute video. And I was like, I just can't do this.
Yeah. So I would say for people that are just getting started and have not really made videos before, the system side, the equipment side gets very overwhelming. And I would say start with your cell phone and literally a plug-in microphone to your cell phone or a wireless mic to your cell phone that's like $20 on Amazon. Like that's all you need to do because you're just getting started. You don't know if you're going to keep doing this. Don't invest in a bunch of equipment. So I would say start with your phone because one, you can edit right on your phone. There's a couple tools that you can use for phone editing. It's just like, let's simplify this as much as possible to remove all the hurdles. And I would say everyone knows how to use their phone. Everyone knows how to take a video on their phone because they've been videoing their kids or their dogs or whatever. So I would start there. Like I know the setup is important as you go along, but if this is like you have to make video number one, make it with your cell phone.
I don't actually think the setup is that important at all outside of the microphone.
Yeah.
Like as long as you just film in decent light on your phone, it's perfectly acceptable. I would actually take the extra step and download, like if you're going to use your phone, just download a little teleprompter app. Mm-hmm. Just put your notes on what you're going to say on there. It doesn't have to like be word for word. Yeah. And it's nice. It overlays it on top of the screen. You can still see yourself because it's translucent, but then, you know, you have these notes so you can just riff off of them.
So my next tip for people who are afraid to do video, and this is sort of, I don't think we've ever talked about this before. I would start by just making Instagram reels. And when I say Instagram reels, I don't mean like dancing and mouthing to lyrics, but I mean like putting your phone on a tripod or setting it up, you know, leaning up against something and literally just talking through whatever you're doing. Like, you know, let's just say you're at a new restaurant in town. You live by this restaurant that we went to where the sushi comes out on a conveyor belt.
Yes.
Right. It's really cool. Like I've never seen anything like that in my life. I'm sure they're probably more popular over in California, but like I would start by, hey, you're at that restaurant. You make a 30-second Instagram, right, reel where you're like, you guys, you won't believe this restaurant that I'm at. The sushi comes out on a conveyor belt. It's so crazy. You flip the camera, you film the sushi on the conveyor belt. Then you say what you ordered, right? Start by making these little videos to your audience of people, like that's mostly your family and friends that like you, right, on your personal Instagram account to get over the fear of just creating the video and talking on camera. Because if it's bad, one, you're not live doing it. You're going to film it and post it. But you're making these little clips of content where there's zero risk, right? There's also the reward is actually, it's little like monetarily, but high as far as like practice. And chances are your friends aren't going to be like, oh my God, you look so dumb on that video, right? They're going to be like, oh, I want to try that place or you know, take a video of you and Carline just talking about like something that happened, or, you know, maybe you're at a sporting event, right? And you're like, I can't believe I had to pay this much for the seats and the guy in front of me's got this big old hat on, right? Whatever it is, you know, start by doing these little videos and posting them on your personal pages. That's actually one of the ways that I got started making videos, was I was posting in private Facebook groups. And I was making videos to, you know, 100 or 200 people who willingly joined a private Facebook group. So they already are your top fans. And so there was much less pressure than making a video that's going to go out to people that don't know you.
You know, it's funny is right now my daughter's working on a class for teenagers on how to sell stuff online, whether it be Etsy or your own e-commerce store. And right now, video is a huge hurdle for her. Mm-hmm. And so one tip that we've just done is, you know, she'll prepare her lesson and then we just keep the camera rolling like the entire time. And so that way she doesn't, like, the camera's just pointing at her, but
yeah,
like she's screwing up. And then I was like, hey, don't worry about it. The camera's just rolling. Mm-hmm. Whenever you screw up, just stop and then just do that sentence again or that paragraph again.
Yeah.
And then just take care of it in post.
Yeah. It's editing hell, but it does work that way.
It's editing hell. But I mean, once if the camera, you know, like if you're not allowed to stop the camera, which is actually one of my biggest hurdles, I'd screw up, I'd stop the camera, delete everything and start over again.
Yeah.
You just leave the camera rolling. And if you screw up, just stop and redo it. It makes the whole thing much smoother.
I agree. The one tip, if you're going to do that and not stop the camera rolling, is that when you screw up, give yourself a pause that's uncomfortably long. Because what people will often do is they'll make a mistake and they'll immediately start over again. And it gives, like, unless you have a high paid editor, it actually makes it very hard to make those cuts. So, and the pauses that we think are long are actually not long when you're editing. So if you are going to keep the camera rolling and you make a mistake, literally count to like three in your head and then start talking again. Because what I used to do is I did the same thing where I would just keep the camera rolling, but then I would say the wrong thing and then I would still be talking like this and I would never pause it. Like the pause to me seemed very long, but it was literally like a third of a second. And that's really hard to cut and edit in a way that doesn't look like you've cut off a part of someone's words.
Yep. Yeah. Let's talk about the fear again, because and let's delve into your psyche actually for a moment.
Oh no. Here we go.
Like finally,
here's my $175.
I charge more than that. So you just decided to start your channel, and this is despite having a channel where you had over like a million views on some videos in the past, right?
Yeah.
So what the hell took you so long? Right.
I mean,
you saw early success, and then you just stopped.
So one of the things that caused, so there was several factors. One of the things that caused me to stop was that, unfortunately, I'm just making these videos. I'm in my pajamas. I've got, you know, kids hanging off of me sort of thing did definitely bring out the haters. Right. And so
the haters, why?
Yeah. Like, oh, I can't believe you let your kids get that close to the stovetop, or, oh, I can't believe you're holding a baby and stirring something, you know? And it's like, well, clearly you've never had a baby. Every person in the world holds a baby and stirs something on the stove. Like this, this is not child abuse, you know? And I think that I just let that get the best of me, as opposed to what I've realized as I've gotten older is that typically the people that are going to make those types of comments about you, and you've gotten hate comments too on your videos and things like that, these people don't know you. They don't care about you. They're not looking out for your kids or your best interest. They're just there to be jerks, and jerks are jerks. There's nothing you can do. You have to move on. And I took so much of that personally, and after a while, it just wears you down. If you don't put up the wall, right, of, you know, trolls, it just wears you down to the point where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to have to read how, you know, people think that I'm not a good parent or that, you know, things like that. And I think it just became easier to say, like, you know what, I'll just do something else. Cause like on a blog, and for some reason, like I'm really good with words. So when someone insults me with words, I know I can just take them down. Right. I'm just like, I got you. Or you can, you know, and you can delete and block comments everywhere. But it just, for some reason, the video comments were much more hurtful to me than blog comments.
That's
a big reason. Because then I was like, well, if I have to get ready and do all this stuff, like, then I'm just not going to do it because I'm not ready. I'm in my pajamas. You know, I'm trying to wrangle a million kids and, you know, take care of them by myself and homeschool them and make dinner and work a full-time job. And so, yeah, I'm still in my pajamas. Shut up. Yeah.
There was something nice about that. I don't know. I haven't seen your new stuff yet, though. So.
I agree. And I think there, and you know, what I didn't realize back then, it's like, you know, getting old sucks, as we were talking about yesterday, because everything is broken on us now. But getting old is also cool because you have a perspective that you didn't have when you were younger, for the most part. And what I realize now is like those videos were probably really comforting to people that felt the same way. Like, you know what? I'm still in my pajamas at 3 o'clock too, but hey, I'm making dinner. It's like, well, at least I'm not taking my kids through McDonald's for the fifth time this week, which if you do, who cares? I don't, you know, do you. But as opposed to like realizing that those videos probably gave people like, well, if she can do it, then I can do it. Or if it's this easy, then I can, you know, make six meals at a time and, you know, save money on my family's groceries so that we can achieve another goal. Like, I didn't have that perspective to realize that it was probably helping way more people than I was pissing off. And so I think that now, looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, I wish I would have made a lot more videos because I think it did help a lot. And I talked to people today that were like, oh, I followed you back in 2009, 2010, and I loved your content and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, it did actually make a big difference for people. But I was, you know, it's just, it's like one hater can ruin 99 positives.
So your solution to getting over this is just to grow old. Is that what is
Yeah,
that what
so
mean?
just wait 10 years and then start video. Just kidding. I think what you have to realize is that the people that are saying nasty things about you are not your people. And that you just like you, it's just, and it's funny because it never bothered me with the blog, but it's bothered me with the video. And it's probably because, as we say, video is way more personal. You get a glimpse on the blog, like heavily edited. I write exactly what I want you to read. I show you exactly what I want you to see. On video, you're seeing the fact that one of my kids is hitting another kid in the background, right? And you see that the baby just won't stop crying. Like all, and you can't really edit that stuff out when you're trying to do like home lifestyle videos, right? Like some of that stuff's going to get in there. And so I think people get to know a realer side of you. And then when they don't like that realer side of you, it hurts.
All right, so back to the tips.
Mm-hmm.
I already said my main hurdle was the work.
Yeah.
Your main hurdle was the comments that you were going to get, as well as just the need to get ready and feel like you need to be perfect.
Yeah, and I don't feel like I need to be perfect at all. I mean, if you're watching this video, you know that I'm not looking perfect. But I think you need to feel confident in how. You need to put your best foot forward, and that will help you get over a lot of fear when it comes to making video. I think step two, make those shorter videos first. Just practice, because right. We all would say that like our first videos are our worst videos. Our first blog posts are our worst blog posts. Our first podcasts are our worst podcasts. Like you get better as you do it. So, you know, start making easy short videos. Don't try to teach a lesson, you know, your first video that you're making. It will be very painful. And then I would say, you know, start the biggest tip for video, I think, is talk about something that you know a lot about. Because if you're trying, and we get people all the time that ask us this, which I always find amusing. It's like, well, can I teach a course on how to make money online? And we're like, well, how do you make money online? Well, I don't. Well, then no, you can't teach a course on how to make money online. And there's a million reasons why you shouldn't be doing that. However, I think the biggest reason is you're going to probably have to make some video, and it's really hard to make videos about things that you don't know anything about.
Yeah. No, I'm a big proponent of scripting, actually.
Yeah. Well, and I think scripting is really important, but it's, if you ask me to read a script on how to code, you know, an upsell plugin for Shopify, right? I'm going to teach you how to create your own upsell plugin for Shopify using just a little bit of code and AI tools. And then I read this script. It would be very uncomfortable.
Well, first of all, you wouldn't be writing that script, but if you wrote it yourself, it wouldn't be uncomfortable, right?
But I think a lot of people want to, they see an opportunity in a niche or an area and it's not their expertise. And so you can use all sorts of tools and research to do it. But if you're not really familiar with something, the making a video, it's much harder to make a video about it than to like write a blog post about it.
Yeah. I mean, I agreed with you to a certain extent. I'm just thinking like my hurdle was one, it's a lot of work. Two, is this going to take me a long time? Mm-hmm. And three, is it going to be smooth?
Right? What do you mean smooth? Like the process is going to be smooth?
Yeah. And this is why the scripting was important for me. And the teleprompter was important for me.
Yeah.
The only problem I see with it now is I wonder if it's become a crutch. I wonder if I can just go on camera now and just start talking about random things. I don't know.
So I think teleprompters are good and bad. As you know, I don't love them, but I have used them. I think what teleprompters do, especially, so let's talk about like, we're now talking about, we've gotten over our fear in this example, yeah, and we're now creating content for the purposes of generating revenue. A teleprompter keeps you on topic. It keeps you from veering off. I mean, you know me, I will veer off on every tangent in the world. And a teleprompter keeps you focused because you have, you know, 8 to 12 minutes to get information to people in a way that keeps them watching. And unless your shtick is like you talk about all the rabbit trails in the world, then if you're veering off topic and not like, you know, you're talking about point 7 and now you're talking about point 11, but you skipped 8, 9, and 10, you know, you're going to lose people in the video watching. So I think the teleprompter, while it is definitely a crutch, it's probably a very, very helpful crutch for most people.
Yeah, I think, you know, the vlog style of videos, at least on YouTube, has become a little less popular. And it's mm-hmm. certainly not lucrative anymore.
No. I mean, yeah. Your best bet is to make videos that teach people how to do things.
And they're crisp, general, concise, and kind of to the point.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, get a teleprompter because I think it does allow you to stay on topic. And initially, it's very helpful because you're going to make mistakes. It's funny. No matter how well you know something, if you start talking about it on camera, you're going to forget like the most important thing. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how important it is to you or how well you know it. Something's going to fly out of your mind as you're talking because you're thinking about all these other things when you're filming.
You know, it's funny. I find it much easier to talk on stage than it is to talk into a camera.
I agree.
Something just happens when I'm staring at this camera lens and like my mind goes blank and I forget what I'm going to say or I don't know what I'm going to say next. Whereas when I'm talking with someone in like in a crowd, at least I can see faces. So it makes it a lot easier.
So here's why I think it's, so some people have the opposite, like our friend Andrea Robinson, who was a news anchor for many years, loves to talk directly to the camera, does not like to talk on stage. She doesn't mind it. She does do it. But like for her, it's much easier to talk in front of a camera than talk in front of a live audience. So I think part of it's just like what's your bent. But what I find with when you're talking to a camera, especially for video, you have to take your energy up about 5x what your normal energy is for it to come across as normal on a screen. Whereas when you are on stage, And when you have a camera on, you're talking to literally nobody. If anything, you see yourself in the monitor and that's it. When you're on stage, you have the people, you have faces, you can see engagement. And when people laugh at that first joke or you see them nodding at the first thing you said, or when you ask that first question, like how many of you wish that blah, 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 and like half the audience raises their hand, it's like shots of adrenaline as you're going. And when you're just talking to a camera and nothing else, you have to manufacture all of that in adrenaline yourself because you're not getting it from anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have problems doing this. You do have to be a lot more energetic. The same goes with podcasting too.
Yes.
You're supposed to be like a lot more energetic. I just don't have the stamina to do that now for a sustained 40 minutes.
Like I just can't be energetic for that long. Fine. You don't even have to be energetic for 40 minutes. You have to be energetic for 20. You have a partner.
That's true. I'm trying to think now what else were some of the hurdles. Actually, we had I think it was Kevin, right? With the
editing.
Getting the editing, yeah.
Yes.
A big hurdle for me was just the time it takes to edit. So you can actually find someone to edit your videos for you. on a per video basis for like $50.
Yeah.
Per video. And I haven't tried some of these, but I did see listings on there, some for like $20 for a 10-minute video.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's people overseas, but they do a good job and you can get what you need. And if that's the hurdle in getting your videos up, then I would definitely do that over like doing it yourself and spending 15 hours, which I think is what Kevin said he was spending yes. on video editing. And it's like in those 15 hours, you could probably make 5 more videos. And so your channel is going to get traction quicker. You're going to get to monetization faster. And so it's going to be worth the financial investment to pay somebody else to make those, edit those videos for you.
So how can you justify paying for an editor if you're not making any money yet? That's a common question, right?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would just justify it by taking money out of something else, right? Or freeing up money from somewhere else. But the other thing that I would do is I would not start by making videos that were super complicated to edit. Like one of the things when, and obviously this depends a lot on your niche and what you're talking about, but when I was making those cooking videos, they have almost no editing. There's no B-roll. There's no, it's like if the content's good, it will stand, it's not going to be a fancy Martha Stewart level overhead hands and pans shot of the recipe, but it's going to be like, for most people, it's like, oh, well, this person's literally in their kitchen making it with the dog at their feet, trying to get the food off the counter. It's a lot more realistic for people. And so it has enough appeal to move you to the next level. Think about our friend Jamreel, who has been on YouTube for several years now, is making 6 figures from her YouTube channel. And she literally just like turns the camera on and she's making, you know, she has a large family. So she teaches people how to do large family cooking basically. But you know, the other, you know, she has a video where she made like, I don't even know, 50 quarts of applesauce or something.
Good
and
Lord.
I know it's like industrial size stuff. It's pretty impressive. Like you watch it cause you're just like, I didn't even know you could buy this stuff at the store. You know, I didn't know you could buy a bowl this big, but her editing, like in her videos have gotten, as she's earned a lot of money and now has a full-time video editor, her initial videos were not high production quality, but the content was so interesting and good. And you're like, how in the world do you process 5 boxes of apples, right? I want to watch. I'm curious about that. And so I think you can start out by making videos that are very uncomplicated, very minimal editing, where you're even, think about Rob Berger, chops off the beginning and the end of the
yes.
video. Content is stellar, so that's what matters. And at the end of the day, content is what matters. You're not going to have such amazing editing that you're going to win the video war on editing, right? We're not video editors. But you can have such amazing content that you get a slice of the pie because you're teaching people or giving people valuable information.
I actually just had Rob as a guest on my podcast, and we were talking about his channel. And he just wanted to get up there and do his spiel.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just lops off the front, lops off the back. The whole mastermind group, so Rob's in my mastermind group. The whole mastermind group had to convince him for like an hour just to even do a thumbnail, a custom thumbnail. And so now what he does is he literally just takes a frame of his video and just puts like a couple of words next to it. But he's killing it. I mean,
yeah.
His channel is growing in leaps and bounds. Each of his videos gets at least 10,000 views, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's just a talking head.
Yeah. So I'm going to do a shameless plug right here for a video tip. And it's actually something that's, it's actually what kind of was a catalyst for me restarting my YouTube channel was I started making videos for the Amazon Influencer Program, right? So, you know, really simple. You buy products on Amazon. We've talked about it on another podcast. You review them. You submit the video to Amazon. They place it on a listing. Well, I was making these videos and I was realizing that here I am, the other day I made 10 videos in a day, which we talked about. Like I can knock these videos out no problem at all because I'm talking about products that I'm using that I like, that I'm interested in. And I'm like, if I'm doing this for Amazon where you make, you know, commission, but it's small amounts of commission unless you're reviewing really expensive products. Why can't I just talk about the things that I've already written about, right? Because it's not difficult. But I will say making all those videos for Amazon, I mean, I've probably made 40 videos so far for Amazon. Like that was definitely the hurdle of, oh, okay, this isn't that hard. Why am I putting, because like when we make our course videos, we're sitting at like my setup's always the same. My microphone's always here. The camera's always here. Nothing ever changes. I just click a button, obviously ease of use, right? But when I was thinking like, oh, I'm going to start making video again, it's like, oh, I don't want to do the setup. It's such a pain, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized, I was like, well, that's dumb. I'm already making these videos, right? I already have the microphone set up. I'm literally using my phone. It's not complicated. And why am I not just doing that again? Like, this is silly. And so that was actually a big help in me wanting to restart the channel, because I was like, I'm already doing this and this is easy. So, and if I'm like, you know, putting on regular clothes to review Amazon products, I can just make another video while I'm at it.
So here's my reason why everyone should be doing video also. I think video is just one of those things that it's really hard to outsource, like, especially if you need to be on the video, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with like the written word, blogging and that sort of thing, people can spam and really just grow a blog quickly by just hiring people. People might think of this as a disadvantage, but I think of it as an advantage. There's a lot of spam going on because of AI, people hiring writers and that sort of thing. But you can't really do that with video, which kind of levels the playing field.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you want to be the subject of the video, you have to put in the time. And if someone else wants to do the same thing, they have to put in the time. Yeah. They can't just throw money at the problem.
Yeah. And I would say, when you make those videos and people start watching them and get attached to you, the attachment is so much deeper than if they're just reading your content. And there are people that write amazingly well, and I'm definitely attached to them based on their writing, but it is so much quicker to get people attached to you on video. And people get to see a side of you that, you know, they would not normally get to see. And so I think it's just such a powerful tool for people to really get to know who you are. And then once they get to know you on video and like you and trust you, it's really easy to get them to do other things.
Plus, you can't easily be copied.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many, and I hate to say it, but it's really obvious that there's Chinese like blog owners or whatever. They're copying my content almost word for word and just changing a couple words here and there.
Well, I can't tell you how many people steal your recipes or steal your DIY. I mean, like, basically Pinterest is a steal farm, right? Like, people go on Pinterest, they see what's popular, and they're like, oh, I'm going to remake this exact same recipe. You know, it's like, well, it's hard to remake me in the kitchen slicing my finger open on Facebook Live as I'm making guacamole. I mean, like, those moments aren't copyable and people really like them.
I mean, what's frustrating is sometimes those articles will outrank you too. The ones who just copy you, right? Can't do that in video. Like, even if they steal your script, it's about who's delivering the script.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the script itself.
And I think too, like, I used to think, this is kind of funny, this is like a total shift that I've had. I used to think video was harder to consume. But I think it's really weird, right? Because like when TikTok, you know, first kind of blew onto the scene during the pandemic, you know, it was all like 30 to 60 second videos. And it's just like scroll, scroll, scroll. Well, now TikTok has gone to like, I think you can have a 30-minute video on TikTok now. It's like,
can you really? Really long. I haven't seen very many of those. I've seen 3-minute videos, but.
You can have a 10-minute video. I've seen 10-minute videos on TikTok. But what I found is like, I will be on TikTok and I will watch 3-minute videos and then I'll watch the next one because it's like part two. Like, I'm invested in, you know, these TikTok videos of people I've never met, never will meet, whatever. But I think that like TikTok kind of lured us in with the 15 seconds. And now we're like watching 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? We're just getting sucked in and sucked in. And I think now video content, I mean, my kids don't watch TV. Like, I remember growing up, like I used to watch shows. You know, like there were shows that I watched on like whatever, you know, Thursday night or whatever the nights were. Like, my kids watch everything on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram.
Huh. Not even Netflix or Hulu or.
Very, very rare. Like, they'll sometimes watch a series, but usually they watch that series because they saw clips of it on TikTok.
Huh. That is interesting.
Like, I think people are just, I don't think it's replaced, you know, TV in general. Like, people, there's always going to be a place for shows and things like that. But I think it has become a form of entertainment. And even entertainment where it's like infotainment, right? Like your stuff would be like infotainment. You're teaching people how to do stuff. You're telling people how to do things. But like people, like I know a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I watch your videos at night, right? Or I watch them when I'm getting ready. Or in the, it's like they, the morning show isn't on anymore. People are scrolling YouTube for content instead of having the TV on listening to whoever's on the morning shows these days. I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, so there you have it. I mean, I think it's the most future-proof way to create content at this moment. I mean, who knows? Maybe AI will take that over too, or maybe the faceless YouTube videos.
Stop being, well, listen, we ended the last podcast on a negative, Nelly. No, well, this isn't the negative podcast.
I'm just being realistic. You can be the positive person. I'm just being realistic. I mean, there's talks of like AI humans, like if they become like humans, it might be different, but there's just something to say about your personality being on camera, regardless of the script. People just will become attached to you. And once someone becomes attached to you, there are infinite ways to monetize it. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.